Stain Gang podcast time with head soccer coach Michael Meacham joining us. Be sure to join us for the Stain Gang podcast every week. And be sure to make your plans to be at Stain Park this week for the MSU Soccer Fall Festival that gets underway on Thursday at 5 o'clock as Southern Nazarene will play Eastern New Mexico. And then a great match coming up at 7 o'clock under the lights, Midwestern State hosting Fort Hays State. And then all four teams are back in action on Saturday at noon Saturday. It's Fort Hays State and Eastern New Mexico. And then under the lights again on Saturday night. That should be a great atmosphere with Southern Nazarene here. We'll talk about those matches with Michael Meacham coming up, but I do want to kind of revisit your trip to Claremore. You played Roger State to a 2-2 draw. I know, for lack of a better word, you were kind of apprehensive about that match going in. You knew that Roger State would be a tough opponent.
Correct.
And that proved to be true. They were tough on you.
They did. They jumped out. I mean, we were pretty good on the ball. We created chances. We did everything we were supposed to do. Obviously, you want to score goals. And then we gave away two restarts. Gave away a corner kick out of nothing and gave away a penalty kick that, you know, obviously was a penalty kick. It was harsh. It was unlucky, but it was definitely a pen. I mean, it was a handball on a service right at the touch of the 18. So kind of there we go, 20 minutes in, down 2-0. And you did not, if you were at the game, you wouldn't have thought that was coming.
Which is kind of, and I think
it's becoming a trend, not a very good trend.
But it's somewhat unique to your sport. I mean, it can happen in other sports, but it seems like it happens in soccer a lot, where you can outplay the other team and still come out on the short end of the score.
I mean, you could probably tell the Philadelphia Eagles the same thing yesterday. I thought they were pretty good.
I thought Atlanta played okay.
They weren't bad, but you kind of make one mistake at the very end, and it cost you, and the game's over.
Yeah, because they didn't put them away early.
Correct. And if we don't put our chances away, and
you didn't put away your chances.
If we don't put away our chances like we should, and off the chances that we create, and we have to settle for, you know, a dogfight, then the game kind of comes out the way you don't want it to come out.
I know you wanted to win, but
correct.
Is a draw, do you get any satisfaction out of a draw?
No.
Let me ask it that
no.
way.
No. I mean, unfortunately, no, not at this time, no. We've gone down there before and held on to, you know, 1-0 or 2-1 or a 2-0 lead where they were really, really good. And I'm not saying Rodgers is bad by any means. So, you know, all you RSU fans, don't kill me. But, you know, obviously.
Don't get a bunch of Hillcats sick on us now. But you said going in.
They're always tough.
You knew they were going to play you well. You knew they were looking forward to playing Midwestern State. And you knew that always had a tough time playing there.
Yeah, we've been there. We've gone down there number one in the country. And tied 1-1. And we're up a man. And we've tied 1-1. So, I mean, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't, you know, make or break your season. But it obviously didn't sit well. You know, we kind of trended in a way that didn't, that hasn't helped, you know.
And you've had back-to-back draws now because you also had a draw against Regis in your final game in Colorado.
Correct. Yeah. And I told the boys when we got back from Rogers. I mean, if you look at this situation, we could have been in this very situation in the past. You know, if you go back just 1 year, we were in Salt Lake City playing Mesa and got an 88th minute penalty to win 1-0, or that game's a 0-0 draw. The only issue is that it changes is now we're conceding goals that we shouldn't be conceding and we shouldn't be leaking and shouldn't be giving us an issue. And now we're getting draws because we can't keep clean sheets and we're not stingy enough defensively as a unit of 11, not just, you know, a back four or a goalkeeper or things like that. Like I've said, I think we've given up 6 goals in 3 games, which is unheard of for us. And I can't pick one of them out where I can say like, oh, it's his fault or it's his fault. You know, it's a culmination of errors and it leads to a goal.
Does that make it better or worse for you when you can't pinpoint one thing or
neither
one
here,
person?
Neither here nor there. I mean, it's easy. It's easy when it's like a basketball. If you're playing man-to-man and somebody scores on you, then like, hey, that's your man, you know. It makes it easier, but it doesn't make it any different. It doesn't make it any easier to solve. You know, if a player's getting beat, a player's getting beat. If a group of players are getting beat, a group of players are getting beat. And we just happen to be 11 guys out there that are giving up goals in odd times. And our reactions aren't bad. I mean, we've gone down and we've scored. And we've been dominated, or we've been dominating, scored, and then given up something. So it's not like we're in a bad place, and it's not like we don't have great players. It either just can't keep happening, or it's going to keep happening because we don't have a not preparing well enough.
Are they physical mistakes or mental mistakes or a combination?
All of the above, probably all of the above. You know, maybe not taking each sequence. Not focusing enough, not preparing enough, not dealing with things early enough, you know. Maybe it's probably more of a communication situation than an athletic situation. So, you know, maybe they'd rather text each other than scream at each other. I don't know.
Could be a generational thing.
I don't think so. I mean, these are the same guys that have done it in the past.
You've got a lot of guys back from a team that was really successful last year. Now, I know we talked last week. You're missing some key guys.
You're really not missing any, like, I mean, players come and go. I mean,
right, that's part of
you graduate it and that sort of stuff. I think we've brought in some very, very talented players. They're talented in different ways. They're a little bit younger in different ways. Maybe they haven't had the weight of maybe the expectations or the jersey on your shoulders. So that's something that they have to grow into. And obviously we're only 3 games in and 3 preseason games in, so 6 games.
So you don't want to make any rash judgments.
No. I mean, you've got someone like Alex Estrada that's played in 3 games and he's a true freshman. So he's something that's learning into it. You know, you've got, you know, Cooper, T, and Ethan, and Skyler, and those guys that are redshirt freshmen, that they're just now getting into it. Toki's been here for 4 weeks, and he's getting into it. So you've got these guys in some pretty big roles. Eddie was redshirted last year, and now he's coming in. So you've got some guys that haven't played in a while. You know, unfortunately, Mede had his knee surgery, so he didn't play a whole lot in the spring. He didn't have a whole lot in the summer. So a lot of these guys are just getting sharpness back. Tristan the same way. He missed a whole year.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of stuff of just getting sharpness.
And just getting accustomed to each other.
Correct. You know, you got some guys playing in different roles, having different responsibilities, all that kind of stuff. And it's just something that guys are getting used to, guys are getting familiar with, other guys are getting familiar with the way that maybe our verbiage and the way that we hold each other accountable and the standards that we want. So it's something where you can kind of see that there's great steps for us to continue to get better and for us to keep progressing, where in the past it's just like we've shown up and we just happen to be better than everybody else at that moment in time so early in the season. And that's just not the case right now, which is not always a bad thing. Maybe in the past we've peaked too early and maybe we're looking to peak later, which could be beneficial. Maybe it all blows up in our face and we continue to make the same mistakes. I mean, we're still dealing
that
with...
That seems unlikely to me.
Yeah, we're still dealing with 18 to 23-year-old guys.
Right.
But everything's trending positively.
Oh, I was going to say, I want to be careful here because if you just listen to the last couple minutes of the podcast, you'd get the impression that Midwestern State is 0-3. You're unbeaten.
No.
You're unbeaten.
We are unbeaten. We're still creating a lot of chances. Like I told the boys when we got back from Rogers, I mean, you guys are averaging like 25 shots a game. You're averaging like 11 or 12 of those on goal. You know, it's something where that just can't continue to happen, where you're going to continue to create chances and you're going to continue to score goals. The issue is we're only giving up probably 6 or 7 shots.
But they're capitalizing.
And we're only giving up 3 on goal, 4 on goal, and they're going in. So you would think on the vice versa, that can't continue to happen either. So, you know, you just kind of keep going at it and attacking each day as you got to do it. As like I've said to the guys before, and I'll say it again, if you win every game you play, you still have to wake up the next day and do it all over again. And if you lose, the sun comes up and you got to do it all over again. So it's not really anything that changes. Your mentality doesn't change. It's just the preparation.
And you're playing the style of soccer you want to play. Nobody's really taking that away from you.
No. I mean, but everybody's playing the way they want to play. I mean, Roger set a little bit deeper, and I don't think that was something that they set out to do. But they set in their own half a little bit deeper and countered and created some chances that way. And that causes some problems. So they're playing what they need to do to get in a result. We've just got to be better at what we're going to do to get the result we want.
Well, you've got a big challenge coming up this week with the Soccer Fall Festival. And first of all, thanks for putting this together, because this is going to be great soccer in Wichita Falls the Thursday and Saturday.
Yeah, we started it a few years ago right after COVID, so it's really kind of helped, and we've been able to do it every year, and we're going to continue to try to bring teams in every year. And, you know, these two teams will be ranked in the top, probably top 15. So it'll be something.
I was going to say, you're not just bringing in teams. You're bringing in really quality teams.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what we want to play. That's what we want to play. We want to play the best teams in the country and in the region and in our area. And these just happen to be two teams that are close enough that we could get down and compete against.
Let me ask you about the team that you won't play. Is there any value for you having Eastern New Mexico? Does it give you any kind of advantage, or does it give them an advantage getting a chance to see you? Let me put it this way. Is there any trepidation about having a conference team, or do you like having a conference team as part of this?
No. Yes and no. I mean, it doesn't really – I mean, I'm glad that a conference team was able to do it. I think it's good for our conference. It's good for, like I said, the region. So it's good to have these teams that will want to do it. And Eastern was thankful that Eastern was wanting to do it, and we're glad to have them.
Just for the soccer fans that might show up Thursday at 5 o'clock to watch Southern Nazarene and Eastern New Mexico, what kind of match do you think we're going to see there?
It'd be cagey. I mean, I don't know if that's –
That's a good word.
It'll be good. It'll be two teams that are two contrasting styles from, you know, what we've been able to see so far. So it'll be good to watch. It'll be something that'll be entertaining and kind of go from there.
What's the because I know you've been in this position before. If you're like Southern Nazarene and Eastern Mexico Thursday, what's the advantage of playing a neutral site game?
The points that you get for each game. I mean, you play a ranked opponent, or you play a team above 500 or above 750 or below 500 or below 225, you get more points for playing in a neutral site. So it's beneficial for both of them to play here, so they can kind of get more points for national consideration when the NCAA tournament comes around.
And the pitch is in great shape.
No, it's been great. It's been great. I mean, our facilities people have really taken some time in it. Athletic Director Kyle Williams is kind of made it a focal point of what we need. We went to him, and me and Spence went to him and just said, like, this is something we've got to get back to the way it was a handful of years ago. And he's put in the time and effort and the finances to.
And so have you and Spence. I mean, you guys have literally had your hands in the dirt.
Yeah, no, we're not too big to do any job. So anything that we need to do to help, anything like you guys have helped us. Like I said, Kyle's been able to help. Facilities has been able to help. Everybody's been able to help to get new mowers and, you know, fix things and put different stuff on the
I think Spence just likes riding on the mower.
I can't say that he does. But it's probably a little bit. I mean, it's different for different people. Maybe that just gives him his time to decompress and think.
I think there's something to that.
It's been good for him, and you know, we've been able to share that load, and everybody's been able to do it, and everybody's been able to help. And I think the pitch is looking really.
No, it looks good, and I've walked on it. Obviously, I haven't played soccer on it, but yeah. Seems like it's a good pitch to play on. Have you?
Yeah, no, it's good.
And you guys haven't played at home, but have you had a chance to play at Stang Park?
Yeah, we've done an inter-squad scrimmage there. We've been able to do – that's the one time we've been on it since the NCAA tournament last year. So
it's in much different shape than it was when you played in the tournament last year.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good. We're back on a good schedule for it to continue to be with the Bermuda that it's on now and the cut that it's in. And then – you know, Jason's been able to get us on a good schedule to get the rye seed down in, oh gosh, early October. So, you know, fortunately, you know, getting into late October, November, it should still be green with the ryegrass.
Do you like that part of the job?
Like what part of this?
Talking about ryegrass?
No, I mean, it's what it is. I mean, it's part of the job. Like, we need to know what we have. We need to know.
You know,
what
you could just
like.
Put a turf in there.
No, I think we would. I think that'd be a job opening.
I don't get to punch that button twice. Yeah, I already did that last year.
So no, it's good. It's in a great shape. But it's something that benefits both the men and the women's program. When we know what it like, when we know how it plays, when we're in the calendar. and we know what games are coming up and we know how it's going to play, it's only beneficial to us.
Now, Spence and the women have played on there several times. Are you able to gather any information just about the way the pitch plays from those?
No, I mean, it's just a, I mean, I hate to say it's a different game.
It is, though. It is a different game. It's played at a different speed. People of different sizes are playing on it. It's just different.
It's different. I mean, the pitch is the same size. The grass is the same. The turf's the same. The lines are the same. But it's just a different game.
It's not better nor worse.
It's just different.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Fort Hays State, because that's who you're going to see Thursday night at 7 o'clock. If you're a soccer fan in Wichita Falls, this is a match to be at.
Correct.
If you're just a casual sports fan in Wichita Falls, I would highly suggest coming to this match. This could be a shootout.
Let's hope it's not a shootout. Let's hope we're controlled.
I probably should have found a different word. I didn't mean to make you nervous.
We definitely don't.
But this could be an entertaining game from a spectator's point of view to watch.
Correct.
Now, am I getting the sense from you, though, you don't want a wide open game?
No, we want a controlled game. We want to be able to organize things on both sides of the ball, like we talked about. We want to be able to be able to solve problems while we're attacking and be able to solve problems while we're defending. So,
And the latter is going to be a real challenge against these guys, because they've shown they can score a lot of goals.
They're very dynamic in the attack. They're older than us, which is probably something that doesn't usually happen right away with some of the experience that they have in different areas with the new coach, Alex, that's been able to get stuff in there and be able to recruit a little bit differently than they have in the past. I mean, I'm looking forward to competing against them and our guys being able to showcase what we can do as well.
It should be a great game. And then on Saturday, Fort Hays will play Eastern New Mexico. That'll be a noon game on Saturday. And then at 7 o'clock Saturday night, Southern Nazarene, they're not to be taken lightly.
No, I mean, that's a team that's made the NCAA tournament 2 years in a row, and they're going to want to come down here and get those points playing at Stang Park. So.
And you've got a target on your back, particularly within the region.
Yeah, I mean, they have one too. I mean, they've made the NCAA tournament. We want to compete against, you know, the best in the country. So,
what's your biggest concern about Midwestern State going into this week?
Maybe just our level of making sure that we communicate well enough all the time. You know, make sure that we hold each other accountable and that we're communicating in the right way, not just screaming and yelling and doing all that
right.
stuff, but communicating in the right way where we're helping each other.
Both making sure. Is that both on and off the pitch?
Both on and off the pitch, both in defense, both in the attack, both in transition. Those types of things. Just the communication aspect of it needs to be a lot better.
And what gives you the most confidence about Midwestern State soccer right now?
That we can do it. That I've seen them do it. I mean, we did it yesterday at training. We competed it that way. We were communicating. We were kind of seeing that sense of urgency that we have and that we want to continue to play with and that we'll go from.
Michael Meacham, I always appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See you guys this weekend.
We're looking forward to the MSU Fall Festival, Soccer Fall Festival at Stang Park. Again, those times on Thursday at 5 o'clock, Southern Nazarene versus Eastern, and then at 7 o'clock, Fort Hays State and Midwestern State. Be at Stang Park Thursday night. Then make your way back Saturday, a noon game, Fort Hays and Eastern, and then at 7 o'clock under the lights, Midwestern State and Southern Nazarene. The men's soccer team playing at night is fantastic at Stang Park. I would encourage you to come. Tell your friends about the Stang Gang podcast, and we'll see you at Stang Park later this week. I'm Pete Stein. So long.